just want to jump in. As you saw, our title for tonight's Eight Simple Letters. Eight Simple Letters. If you are taking some notes, jot that down as your title. If you're not taking some notes, you probably should. But if there's paper in front of you, encourage you to just listen for what he desires for you to remember and then write that down. So, you know, part of my daily devotional time, as I spend time every morning, I'll take time in the Word and just reading through the Bible. Many of you are doing that with me through the Old Testament. Some are reading through the New Testament. And then I also will take some time in a devotional as well. And one of the devotions that I've been reading over the last, for this year, is called My Utmost for His Highest. It's by a man named Oswald Chambers. Oswald Chambers, you see from this, passed away in 1917. He's been gone for over 100 years, and yet the words that are written down in this devotional speak to me so often. And we find that. It's like when people are here, they're like, man, how did you know? You were speaking straight to me. That's Holy Spirit. And he doesn't just do that here in this room. He can do that wherever, anytime we get in the Word. The thing that I find about that devotional in particular is that it's those times where I'm reading through and it makes me start digging deeper into this. That's how you know you found a good devotional. If the devotional doesn't cause you to go here, and it's the all-in-one thing, man, you're missing it. Get a new one. Get something else that causes you to go dig deeper into his Word. And so this talk tonight is based on one of those moments as I was reading. And Zach touched on it last week, and I knew what I was preaching about. I told him after, thanks for setting me up perfectly. And so we're going to dive in tonight. So if you have your Bible, grab them, and you can open it. I don't know where yet, but we're going to open it. So tonight I'm going to start this. We have lots of questions in life. There's questions that we need answers for. Some questions we'll never have answers for. But some of them we want to know, right? And they have all different varying levels of importance. For instance, what am I going to wear? Was a question you probably asked yourself at some point today. What am I going to eat as you look in the fridge? What am I going to drive someday? Who am I going to marry? Who's going to win the Euro Cup? Will the Leafs ever win anything ever again? Right? We ask questions, and some of them don't matter. In the light of eternity, they don't matter at all. And as I was reading through this devotional with Oswald Chambers, this is the quote that came up in the talk. We'll put it on the screen. The questions in life that matter most are remarkably few, and they are all answered by these words: come to me. The questions in life that matter most are remarkably few, and they're all answered by these words: come to me. Eight simple letters. Three simple words, but powerful, as we'll soon see. And that phrase, come to me, is something Jesus said multiple times. And he was actually answering questions that people didn't even know that they had. And so we're going to look at some of those tonight, because he answers the most important questions that you should be asking. And so we're going to start with number one: are you lost? This is a good question to be asking. Are you lost? You know, being lost can sometimes be fun. Yeah, sometimes. If you know you're like, you're not really, really lost, and you're with somebody that you really love, and you know you can hear the soundtrack, Blue Rodeo in the background. If we're lost, we are lost together. And it's like, it's adventure, right? You're going to find your way. Probably shouldn't sing tonight, but it's a really great soundtrack for this message. You may want to listen to the real versions. It might be better. But feeling lost, like being lost and not really caring too much, not that bad, but being lost and feeling hopelessly lost is a very different level of concern. I remember traveling in Europe back in the day, probably about 18 years ago. One of the great experiences on that trip in Europe was that we found out we were going to be having our first child. One of the regrettable times of that trip was me driving and wanting to find the Autobahn. I had rented a Ford Focus. It turned out to be a Ford Focus wagon, but it didn't matter. I was going to go find the Autobahn, the road with no speed limits, and I was going to see what fancy cars would pass me, and I was going to do whatever I could. And so we're driving. It's why we decided we're going to go through Germany. And as we're driving, we get to this place and we're like looking for Brussels. And so this is when there was maps before apps. I didn't have any, there was no app. You had to actually read the map. And so we're reading the map and we see this thing. It's like, man, we got to find Brussels. And the map's in English, but none of the signs are. And so as we're driving down this main highway, Beth happens to look back, and on the other side of the road with this big sign is this big word that says Brussels this way. And she's like, I'm sure it's that way. It says Brussels. I'm like, we're looking for Brussels. It's not the same thing. It was the same thing. So we ended up turning around. I've learned over time, when she says something in that seat, I got to listen. But we went, you know, and turned around and went back. But man, so many times on that trip, we were like lost. And it just wasn't a fun feeling. You know, it's one thing to be lost in a vehicle. It's totally different to be lost in life. To be lost in life. You know, Luke chapter 15, you don't have to turn there, but you can write it down. I encourage you to read it later. Luke actually documents three parables that Jesus tells the crowds about things that are lost. He talks about a lost sheep and a lost coin and a lost son. And if you're familiar with the stories, you know them. Sorry. If I go down, Zach Brown's up. If he goes down, it's Gary. After that, Brian. And after that, just anybody. Come take the mic and read Luke 15. Jesus gives us insight into what the Father thinks of those who were once lost and are now found. And we just want to look at the last verse. Luke 15, verse 32 says this. He says to his son, he said, we had to celebrate this happy day. He says, your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost. And the actual wording of that is, he was lost to me. He was lost to me, but now he's found. You know, that phrase, he was lost to me, is actually repeated in one of the most famous verses in Scripture. You may know it. It's John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish. That same phrase, will not perish, is that same, will not be lost to me. Whoever believes in me will not be lost to God, but have eternal life. You know, that's the thing that you think about when Jesus is talking about people being lost. There was this realization of this coming to me. And you know, the only reason we could ever come to him is because he came for us. When I think about the cross and the manger, that he came for us so we could come to him. And it's written about multiple times through Scripture. Luke 19, verse 10 tells us that he came to seek and save those who were lost. And I'm so grateful he did, because that was me. You know, Mark 8:34 tells us, anyone wants to be my disciple. He's like, Jesus saying, if you want to be my disciple, he's like, take up your cross and follow me. That follow me is that idea of coming to him repetitively in a lifestyle of following him. Matthew 18 to 19, Jesus is talking about children, and he says to the people around him, he says, hey, you know, let the children come to me. Let them come to me. He says, don't hinder them. He says, actually, you guys should be more like them. You should be more like a child. We're always telling kids, man, when are you going to grow up? And Jesus is looking at adults and saying, when are you going to be more like these children? Fully trusting. I thought about that. My kids, you know, Lincoln, many of you know him, seen him. He's like almost 6 feet tall now. But when he wasn't that tall, I'd come home, I'd say from work, but I probably wasn't. I would just come home. And in Townsend, we had this half stairs, had about 6 or 7 steps. And I'd often find Lincoln at the top. And I would tell him, Link, jump, I'll catch you. And he would hesitate, but then he'd be like, yeah, I think you can. And he would jump and I would catch him. Maddox, on the other hand, he would jump before it came in the door. Like, Dad, catch me. And wham, I'm like picking him up off the floor. If you know Max, it's not a far reach to see that. But that's what he's asking us to do. He's like, if you come to me, man, you got to come with that full trust in me. Hebrews 11:6, actually the writer of Hebrews clarifies and says this, it's impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him, anybody who wants to come to me, to come to him, must believe that God exists and he rewards those who sincerely seek him. There's that question. Are you lost? Are you feeling lost? You know, sometimes you sit around and you're like, when I was in Europe, I was like, everybody else seems to know where they're going. How come I don't? Everybody else understands the language and the lingo of this land I'm in, but I don't. And maybe you sit here tonight in a church and you're like, man, it looks like everyone else kind of knows where they're going. They seem to have it all together. But I don't understand the lingo and I feel kind of lost. And man, he's saying one thing to you tonight, and that is, come to me. Come to me. Are you lost? His answer is, come to me. The second question is this, are you in trouble? Are you in trouble? There's a very famous story in Matthew's account of Jesus. Mark 6, John 6, repeat it. You can find some of the other details there. And if you've got a Sunday school, you know this story. If you've been in church for any amount of time, you've heard this story probably more than once. But I don't want you to miss it. So let's turn there together, Matthew chapter 14. So if you have your Bible, go towards the middle. Matthew 14. You guys there? Verse 22? All right. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted, so that he had just fed the 5,000. He says, immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. And after sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray, and night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, remember that, Jesus came toward them, walking on the water. And when the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. And in their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost." But Jesus spoke to them at once and said, "Don't be afraid. Take courage. I am here." And then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat, walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have such little faith," Jesus said. Why did you doubt me?" And when they climbed back in the boat, the wind stopped and the disciples worshipped him. You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. You know, as we read that story, you've heard it many times, we forget sometimes that this is real, real people. You know, real, real people. It's a real, real story. And these people are... They're in real... That's the first. All right, I got three. They are in real, real trouble. Real, real story about real, real people are in real, real trouble. Here they are. They're fighting large waves. They're in a small boat. They're in the middle of the lake that's 140 feet deep, and it's 3 a.m. Everything is worse at 3 a.m. Isn't it true? I mean, you have a man cold, you're fighting the daytime, it's great. 3 a.m., I'm just like, "Beth, call the ambulance," right? Like, 3 a.m., everything feels worse. And here they are, seasoned fishermen. They're in this lake. They're in trouble, and they're terrified. And we see Peter, and Peter, he's not perfect, but he's a disciple, and he's in trouble. And he says this to Jesus when he sees him. "Jesus, if it's really you, tell me to come to you. Tell me to come to you." You think it's strange, right? Like, if it's Peter, you know, you think, why didn't you say, like, "Jesus, if it's really you, call the Coast Guard. Jesus, if it's really you, like, would you just save us, get us out of here? Or, Jesus, make this storm stop like you did two chapters ago when you were in the boat with us sleeping and we were in a storm and you just spoke to it and stopped." Why doesn't he say that? I don't know, but what he does say is, "Jesus, if it's you, tell me to come to you." And Jesus answered Peter with those 8 simple letters. Really, it could be those 3 simple words: "Come to me. Come to me." Man, Peter gets out of that boat, decided that if I'm going to be in this storm, Lord, I want to be in it with you. Lord, I want to walk it with you. And he starts walking, which is an incredible thing. You know, story, we just read it. We know what happens next. He's walking, but then he starts sinking. And his prayer is like, "Lord, help. Lord, help. This is me, Jesus, coming to you. This is me answering the call, coming to you, but I need your help." You know, I find that so much with us. We have the desire in our hearts that God put there, drawing us. "Lord, I want to come to you. I want to answer that prayer. I am a disciple. I'm a follower of you. I want to come to you." And yet, I still find myself sinking at times. Find myself not making it. And maybe that's you as well tonight. You know, Peter simply said, like, "Lord, help. I want to come to you, but I need your help." You know, think about others in Scripture where we see this. You see blind Bartimaeus, he's on the side of the road, and as Jesus is going by, he's like, "Lord, Lord, help. I want to follow you, but I can't see. I need your help." You know, the father with the sick son, and Jesus says, "If you can believe, I'll heal him." He's like, "Jesus, I believe, but help my unbelief, because, Lord, I want to, but I need your help." There's nothing wrong in that, and I think it's something required in that. Lord, we need your help. I think Peter, he's not perfect, but he's a great example for us, because we find ourselves in storms of life as well. I don't know what your storms are like. Maybe you're in one right now. We find ourselves in trouble. You know, I thought about Rembrandt. Rembrandt's famous painter, and he painted this story. This is the story that he painted of Jesus on the Sea of Galilee. What's interesting about this, though, is Rembrandt paints an extra disciple into the painting. He paints himself in the painting up here holding on, knowing that, yeah, he also is in those storms of life and also needs to hear those words, "Come to me, and that is Peter's reminder to those and any of us in trouble tonight, is those words, come to me. Come to me. That's the most important thing, is that setting the focus on Jesus. I know we're tempted to focus on the waves. I know we're tempted to focus on ourselves, getting ourselves through. But Peter's like, he shows us that, just that one more time. Actually, Matthew shows it to us, is that Jesus' response to it is, come to me. You're in a storm? You're in trouble? Come to me. Come to me. You know, as I was studying this, I found it kind of interesting that Peter doesn't actually mention this in his account of the story. You know, Mark writes about this, and tradition tells us, is widely believed, that Mark's gospel was actually Peter's accounts that Mark was writing down later on. And, you know, when you read through Mark's gospel, you don't see anything about Peter walking on water, almost like he knew that, you know, the focus shouldn't be on him. That later on in life, as he's looking back, it's like, now the focus should be on Jesus. Peter could be, I mean, if it was him, he'd be like, hey, fellas, like, I'd like to come preach at your church. I'm the guy who walked on water. Come on, peeps, that's something. How many of you walked on water? But he doesn't. You know, if you're reading through Acts with us right now in the New Testament, man, we keep seeing this humility that's in Peter. Before, man, he was a little bit of a train wreck, a little loose with the tongue. He was a little bit like, he needed to be reined in quite a bit. And then now we see these things where there's just a different Peter. He's bold in this way he should be when it comes to preaching the gospel, and he's humble in the approach of Peter to the world. He goes to this place where this woman has died. Her name's Dorcas and Tabitha. We'll go with Tabitha. Yeah, there's such an unfortunate name. But he goes, and she's passed away. And he goes, and you know what it says? He asks everybody else to just leave the room. And he prays for her, and he raises her from the dead. I don't know about you, but like, if I knew I was going to raise somebody from the dead, I think it'd be cool to have witnesses. I think it'd be good for me, right? Wow, look at you. Look. And Peter's like, no, I don't need any of that. It's Christ who's raised her from the dead. There's no accolades. Nobody needs to. This is no show for Peter. You see him when he goes to Cornelius' house, and Cornelius is like, oh, you're an incredible man. He's like, get off the floor, man. I'm just another guy. I'm just another guy. It's Christ that sent me to you. And if you're in trouble, his answer to you is, come to me. And tonight's the same thing. If you find yourself in trouble, Jesus' words to you would be the same. Come to me. And then third, are you burdened? Are you burdened? You know, Matthew tells us of another account where Jesus, he's frustrated with those who saw his miracles and they still choose not to believe in him. They choose not to repent of their sin, and they choose not to follow him. Matthew 11, the whole chapter is talking about this frustration that he has with people. He's like, man, there was worse cities before. They would have turned if they had seen what you've seen. And at the end, though, the end in verse 28 to 30, Matthew 11, you can just flip back there if you'd like. It's a couple pages back. Matthew 11, 28, Jesus says this. Come to me. There it is again. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and I'm gentle at heart. You'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden that I give you is light. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. You know, there's different things in life that burden us. You know, I think about anxiety and worry that burden so many people today. You know, they describe them as people who are carrying the weight of the world on their shoulders. You know, there's different burdens at different ages as well. It's not always the same. You know, young people, it's like, am I ever going to find a girlfriend? You know, married people don't say that. Well, they shouldn't. You know, because otherwise their concern is my marriage going to make it? Different levels of concern, different levels of burden, but still burdens. You know, how am I going to face the bullies versus how am I going to pay the bills? Man, I'm scared of the dark versus, man, I'm scared of death. Levels of burden that people carry. It doesn't matter the age that you are. We all have the possibility and opportunity to carry heavy burdens. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 describes sin as one of these burdens. It's the weight. He says, cast off the weight and the sin which so easily ensnares you in your race of faith, because it's a burden you're not meant to carry. You know, I think we read earlier when Jesus called us to carry our cross, that there's a burden in following him. And some think, oh, that's heavy. It's rules, it's regulations. It's going to be so terrible following Christ. I'm not going to have any fun anymore. My life is going to be so burdened. I can promise you that burden is way lighter than the burden of shame and guilt every single time. Do you know why? I know. People don't call me for counseling when they're doing really well with the Lord. It doesn't matter even what they're facing in their obedience to him. They're going through some tough stuff, but man, they're like, man, God is good. He's carrying me through. Yeah, there's some things I've had to give up, some friends I've had to give up, but you know what? It's all worth it. I love talking to those people. You know the ones who call me? They're the Christians who call me, and they're like, man, I thought that burden was heavy, and so I went back to my sin. And man, I feel so guilty. And man, I have so much shame. And man, it weighs heavy. And his burden is light. And if you read in your scholarly or you just picked up on it, the context that Jesus is talking about in this particular spot, when he says, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, he's talking about religious rituals and rules. He's like, you're trying so hard to like be found right with God by doing all of the right things. You're going to, you know, you're trying to keep the Ten Commandments and you're trying to be the best possible people you can be. And it's like, man, isn't it heavy? And if you've tried it, it's heavy. And his answer to them is, come to me. Come to me. Don't go to more church services, you know, thinking that's going to do it for you. Or don't, you know, just think it's going to be religious activity. But come to me. If you go to church services and you find Christ, keep going. You know, if you're doing religious activity, like you're reading your Bible and you find Christ, keep doing it. But don't do it just as like, oh, I'm just reading the Bible so I can check things off because that's what Christians do. The goal is that we would come to him and never miss that, that we would come to him. You know, I think we live in a world where people carry heavy burdens. And in prepping for this, I came across the story of Joseph Scriven. We're talking about lots of old dead people tonight. But Joseph Scriven, they knew stuff. You know, Joseph Scriven was born in Ireland in 1819. He's born to good parents, wealthy parents. You can leave his picture up there for a bit. He had a good education. And like, you know, most young men, after he kind of found some success, he found a young lady. And Joseph fell in love with this woman. They got engaged. They were planning their wedding. And on the night before they got married, Joseph is... And his bride are going to be meeting up. And he's standing on the other side of a bridge. And she's riding a horse. And she rides across. And he watches to his horror as halfway across, the horse bucks her over the edge. And he watches her fall into the river below. And he can't do anything to save her and watches her drown on the night before his wedding. Man, that's some grief. That's a burden to carry. But it was through that ordeal that he actually found Christ. And not only found Christ, but a passion to live for Christ and serve the poor. And he was serving the poor in Ireland. But these memories, they wouldn't leave him alone. And so he decided to relocate. And he moved to Port Hope here in Ontario. You can go see the plaque honoring his life. It's out near Peterborough. But he lived in Port Hope. And he began ministering to the poor there. He was just going to live the rest of his life serving the Lord to the best of his ability. But isn't it that way that when you start serving the Lord, all of a sudden he runs into somebody, a young lady who's also serving the Lord in Port Hope, and they find each other, and they find themselves attracted to one another, and they get engaged, and she gets baptized in the winter, and it's freezing cold water, and she has a pre-existing lung condition, and as a result of that, she contracts pneumonia, and she dies just a mere months before their wedding. Man, burdens. Burdens to carry. You know, where many would have turned from the Lord in great tragedy like this, Joseph continues on. At age 66, still a single man, he comes down with an illness of his own. He's got a fever, and his friends take him in. And as Joseph is staying with his friends, in the middle of the night, he goes to ease his fever by going down to the lake, and they find him drowned the next morning. And his friends go, and they look through his room, and they find on his bedside table, a poem that he'd been writing to his mother just to encourage her as she had been recently gone through some terrible loss as well. These are the words that he wrote. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and grief to bear. Man, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. He says, have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we cold and unbelieving, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. That song has been sung for generations. That extra words were added to give it a third verse. But out of great tragedy and out of that came these beautiful words of encouragement to others that simply would call people to come to him. Tonight, that's the question. Are you burdened? And if you are, Jesus' words remain the same. 8 simple letters. Come to me. You know, finish with one last thought tonight. You know, we might find it reasonable, logical. Maybe we find it even our experience that we find it easy to come to him, or even to think about coming to him when we find ourselves lost, in trouble, or burdened. It's usually when we are like, oh God, where are you? I need you. And you find out he's always been there. That's usually when we find ourselves answering that call to come to me. But there's one last time where Jesus speaks of this, or at least one last time we're going to talk about tonight, and that's in John chapter 7. So if you have your Bible, just turn there to the right. You're in Matthew, go to John chapter 7. Verse 37 and 38. Jesus has gone to the festival and says this: on the last day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and he shouted to the crowds, anyone who's thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink, for the scriptures declare that rivers of living water will flow from his heart. Jesus is answering a question many of them didn't even realize they had. Are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? Anyone who's thirsty? Even tonight, that question, are you thirsty? Do you remember the last time you were really, really thirsty? Maybe you're out in the fields, forgot to bring a water bottle, and then the tractor breaks down. And you're like, oh man, I gotta go. Or you're in the house and you're chasing kids around all day, and then you just realize, oh man, I could really use a drink of water right about now. You know, most people don't drink enough water. That's what the doctors keep telling us. That's what people keep telling us. You know, you need to drink more. You need to drink more. But there's some people that do. Anybody know Becky? She walks around with a keg of water and she has 58 ounces of no? Okay. That works better for those who know her. Okay, but you know, that seems to be the thing now. It's I'll carry all the water I'm going to drink around today in one serving. But most people aren't drinking enough. And you're always walking around with this thirst, this low-grade thirst all of the time. And the truth is that most people are walking around with a spiritual low-grade thirst all the time and don't even realize it. It's that inner thirst that Jesus speaks about. And even tonight as you're listening, maybe that begins to stir up that thing inside of you. You're like, yeah, you know what? You're right. There's a thirst. There's a longing for him. You know, Pascal described it as the God-shaped hole that in every person that only God can fill. And we think, that's salvation. That's kind of God's the only way. Man, it's more than that. We require this ongoing filling of him. Nothing else will fill it. Even as a Christian, it wasn't like, oh, I got saved and I'm fully satisfied for the rest of my life. Nobody finds that. But where you find it is in this continual pursuit of him, a continual coming to him, quenching your thirst in the living water of him. Zach said it last week. We haven't come to some old religion. Well, he was quoting Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. We didn't come to some old religion, old rules and regulations. We came to the living God. We came to Jesus himself. We came to relationship with Christ. I think about that. I was reminded of the story of Annie Hawks. Annie Hawks as well. Born in 1836, no longer with us, but a mom of three. Age 37, finds herself busy, busy, busy. She's a believer. She's a writer. She's passionate about the Lord, but man, she was busy. And she talks about how at this one point, she came to this, this realization of, Lord, I need you. And what she discovered in that moment is that he was there, that his presence just overwhelmed her. And out of that moment, she realized she didn't have to go find him somewhere, that he was always right there. She just had this realization of his presence in her busiest moments, not just to save her, but to sustain her. And she wrote these words, "I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee." I can't help it, sorry. "Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee." Man, those hymns. We start realizing how they were written and what they were written out of. And they speak to something deep down. That question tonight, are you thirsty? If you're thirsty tonight, recognizing, oh yeah, maybe I've just kind of been falling into the trap of ritualistic religious activity in the name of Jesus, and I'm missing him. Man, his answer to you is 8 simple letters. Come to me. Come to me. Are you lost? Stay tonight as we close. Are you lost? Are you in trouble? Are you burdened? Are you thirsty? Any of those questions? You're like, man, yeah, one of those or three of those. Like, all of those. And the answer is simple. 8 simple letters. 3 simple words. Come to me. My encouragement to each of us tonight is this. Like, come like a child to a good, good father. Come in faith. Fully trusting him, that he exists and he rewards those who will diligently seek him. Come to him if you're lost. Come to him if you're in trouble. Come to him if you've got burdens. And then come to him knowing that you are thirsty, even if you don't realize it tonight. Just come to him. You know, Oswald Chambers wrote later in his devotional, "Keep your soul steadfastly related to God." Keep your soul steadfastly related and connected to God. Why? I just think, you know, the end of John chapter 7 in Jesus' words, "Anyone who's thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For as the scriptures declare that rivers of living water will flow from his heart." Man, it's that realization of, oh, that connection with Christ coming to him. It's like it makes that alive on the inside. And you know why it's so, so important? Because maybe you sit here tonight and your answer to all of those was no, 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 no. I'm okay. I'm good. The reason that each and every believer, you know, that call to come to Christ, Jesus was speaking of his Spirit. That we need Holy Spirit. And we'll see over the next number of, in September when we talk about this topic, that we're required to be being filled. Being filled with his Spirit, that it overflows in our lives. That rivers of living water would flow from our hearts. Why? Because I promise you, there are people in your world around you that are lost, that are in trouble, that are carrying heavy burdens and are thirsty. And man, may the living water of his Spirit be the thing that draws their attention to him, and may they find Christ as a result. Can we pray? Father, thank you for helping me get through. Lord, thank you tonight for your word, because it is so powerful. Jesus, thank you for calling us to come to you. We couldn't have come without your drawing, and we recognize that tonight. Lord, we know that you've changed our lives and are continuing to do so. Sometimes we just get so focused on that, we forget that those around us. And so, Father, I just pray for those tonight in this room who may not know you yet, who may not have come to you, may not have even heard your voice or that drawing until tonight. God, I pray for them. I pray that in the battle, the spiritual battle for their lives and their eternal destinies, Lord, they respond to you. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters tonight. One's going through tough times. One's going through trouble or just a dryness. Lord, that tonight they may just have heard your word, your voice calling them. Just once again, my child, come to me. Jesus, thank you for calling me. Lord, I love your presence. Love who you are. God, I worship you tonight. For who you are. How great is our God. How great is our God. It's in your amazing name that we pray all of this tonight. Amen.